We are live. Jump in the chat as I jump on the program with Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. Aaron Halterman currently in the air, so he won't be here this week, Mike. Boots on the ground at Saratoga as we get ready for the Belmont Stakes. Welcome, my friend.
Oh, I'm excited, Patrick. It's a fun weekend. It's a phenomenal 2 days of racing. 14 races today, 14 races tomorrow. A ton of superstars in the horse racing world, all culminating with the 13th race on tomorrow's card, the Belmont Stakes, where we get our rematch of the top three in the Kentucky Derby, as well as your Derby winner versus your Preakness winner. What could get you more excited than that, Patrick?
We waited 37 years for the 12th Triple Crown with American Pharoah, and then we got our 13th with Justify. Pretty exciting. Aside from that, I can't remember a Belmont Stakes more exciting than what we're looking at here. Journalism coming off the Preakness, Sovereignty Skip coming off the Kentucky Derby, Baeza, the Speed in Rodriguez. This is setting up to be a monster.
Yeah, it's an awesome race. I mean, that's the beauty of this, is the one thing horse racing has consistently been missing is these rivalries, these setups where you've got horses that face each other time and time again, so that you're able to see who is the best horse. And you get the public involved because they want to see these horses go back and forth and race against each other consistently. And it was a bummer that we didn't get Sovereignty in the Preakness, but we got a phenomenal effort, an all-time effort from Journalism, being able to take all of that bumping around the far turn and still make up the ground on Gosker late. And now we get the rematch. And you mentioned Rodriguez as well. Rodriguez in the Kentucky Derby, then he heads over, that he was supposed to be in the Kentucky Derby, he scratches out of that race. The plan was to run him in the Preakness. He ends up missing that race as well. The last time we saw him was in New York going gate to wire in the wood, and now he injects some speed in here, as well as Bobby Flay's horse Crudo, the 5. It means we're going to get Nana's pace, which is an important part of this, because Sovereignty is going to be coming from the back. The big question mark to me, Patrick, is who is going to be sitting right behind those top two, because this does not project to be as fast of a pace as what we saw in the Kentucky Derby, which could hinder Sovereignty.
Yeah, you nailed it, Mike. And we've got the post draw, so we can talk to you about who won, who lost, does it matter? But I think we should start with the weather, because right now and currently we're looking at overcast conditions, but rain could be a factor here. So let's start rolling out exactly how these horses will be impacted and what your take is on the potential inclement weather conditions.
Yeah, it's been a moving forecast throughout the entire process here all week. Originally, the rain was supposed to come Wednesday and Thursday. That got pushed back to Friday and Saturday. We saw the first shower of the week last night. It didn't rain for very long. It's fast and firm today, which is a positive sign. There's storms up in Rochester right now, which are projected to go through the Saratoga area between 3 and 4 o'clock, dumping anywhere from 0.5 inch to 0.75 inch of rain onto the racetrack. If that's all we get, we should be fine. But unfortunately, tomorrow, the majority of the day, we're expecting showers at some point. It's upstate New York. You never know when these things are going to come and how big those showers are going to be. It affects the turf racing more than it affects the dirt racing. And we talked about this throughout each leg of this Triple Crown, because unfortunately, weather has been an impact in each leg of this Triple Crown, with that concern of being off track. We saw a sloppy track in the Kentucky Derby, and all three of the horses that ran in that race are coming back and ran very well over that track. If you look at Journalism and his sire, if you look at Sovereignty and his sire, both of them phenomenal on and off track. The one horse that would concern would actually be Baeza, who is a son of Mackenzie, who's not a horse who is known to be a huge off track sire. And that would be the biggest concern. But I go back, I watch that Kentucky Derby. Baeza ran his eyeballs out in that race. So I'm not as concerned about him not handling the track after we have proof that he can handle that off track. So I don't see it as a huge factor here. The one thing I will say, Patrick, Saratoga, when the rain does come, it favors forwardly placed horses going two turns. So I do think that makes it easier for speed, and it actually makes it tougher on Sovereignty, who's going to be coming from way back in the pack to try and make more of an impact.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is, as you said, that Rodriguez jumped to mind, but that's why there's so many interesting storylines here. One, you just had in the Preakness, obviously Journalism, run one of the craziest races with the traffic we've ever seen. However, dual stretch Kentucky Derby, Sovereignty coming in fresh. And then you look at Baeza, the younger horse, half-brother to Dornock, won the Belmont last year, half-brother to Mage, who you picked in the Kentucky Derby. You go on, and I know Hill Road. Like, there are a lot of horses that people have pointed to, but we have three in particular. 1A with Journalism and Sovereignty, and then 2 with Baeza coming into this. Again, the storylines abound. It's just insane. Now, we did have an off-track Kentucky Derby. We saw Sovereignty outduel Journalism. I feel like Sovereignty is the left-out horse now because everybody's focused on Journalism from a couple of weeks back, and Baeza's performance coming through traffic in the Kentucky Derby. It's almost like Sovereignty is being left out.
It's funny, he was left out in the Derby. If you remember, he was actually the third choice on the morning line, and he was the horse that floated up. And we're seeing the exact same thing here in the Belmont. If you look at the live betting numbers, Journalism, a substantial favorite, sitting at 7-5 on the board. And it's actually Baeza who's down at 3-1 and Sovereignty who's at 7-2. So Baeza right now a shorter price in the win pool than Sovereignty. So very much being forgotten again. And before I forget, if anyone out there is playing the Belmont card tomorrow, make sure that you head over to our friends over at First Bet, not just to bet the races over there, but also to check out the Belmont contest that they are running. It's horse racing's Triple Crown wrapping up with the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga. You can get in the action with our friends over at First Bet and play the free contest, the VEASAN and First Bet Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. Enter your top picks on Saturdays, 4 of Saturday's races, to win up to a $500 betting voucher. They're giving up $1,000 for free here. Head over to VEASAN.com/Belmont to play. That's VEASAN.com/Belmont. All you have to do is pick one horse in the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th race tomorrow. If you pick 4 winners, you're definitely cashing something. If you pick 3, you might get some money back as well. So make sure you check that out over at VEASAN.com/Belmont. I know I'm in, Patrick. Are you getting in?
Of course I'm in, Mike Somich. First Bet does a great job. Go sign up right now. VEASAN.com/Belmont. We're going to have our Belmont picks. We'll get to the undercard as well, including the Jiper. But I'm looking at the odds right now, and you nailed it. Sovereignty is floating up. 2-1 morning line, 7-2, 3.5-1. But you look at Baeza, 4-1, now floating down to 3-1, and then 8-5 Journalism. So we will have more on Baeza later, both you and I. But it also looks like the market's starting to like this horse as well.
Yeah, it's funny how this horse has become the sharp horse. And if you go back and you watch the Kentucky Derby, you can see why. Baeza, the most lightly raced of these three horses that are considered the three favorites, which generally means that horse has the best opportunity to improve because there's still upside in what they're able to do. And when you go back and you watch what happened to Baeza in the Santa Anita Derby, where he ran second to Journalism, kind of made an early move. It was a little bit of a funky race because it was 5 horses. Journalism able to run him down late, even though Journalism was ahead of him early. And then you go fast forward to the Kentucky Derby where Sovereignty and Baeza basically shoulder to shoulder with a horse in between them. Baeza takes the outside route, able to loop the field, able to get the win. Baeza stays inside and Pratt has to kind of weave through traffic, get stopped at one point at the top of the stretch, but was absolutely rolling at the end of the race, almost caught Journalism. And then the gallop out, which is something in horse racing people talk about, what horse keeps going after the wire without being asked? That means that they have run left, that there's still energy there. Baeza crushed everybody on the gallop out, which meant he still had more in the tank. Now you get that time off. You get Journalism who had to deal with the Preakness race. A lot of people think Baeza can turn the tables on Saturday against both Journalism and Sovereignty.
You know, it's funny because a second year for the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga, and it's essentially a thoroughbred cathedral. Aside from the distance, 1.5 miles cutting back to 1.25 miles. I mean, it's your favorite place in the world. I know you got houses up there. Mike Somich, by the way, for everybody, he has to know he's got property. He's got property. He's just doing this broadcast for VEASAN because he's a good guy. He's got property, Saratoga. Outside of the weather and how some tracks run differently with the off track, anything else we should know about Saratoga second year around Belmont?
Well, I think first off, the mentioning the speed favoring going two turns is important. You do see consistently horses up front that are able to survive. We saw that on Wednesday and Thursday, and now we've seen it early today where it's harder to close ground on this racetrack. If there's water or rain that comes down, I think it's going to make it even more difficult for horses to close. Again, that's a positive for Rodriguez, a positive for Crudo, a negative for Sovereignty. Outside of that, I don't think there's a big issue here. We only have 8 horses in this race. And the 1.25 mile distance at Saratoga, they take advantage of a chute all the way at the top of the stretch. Saratoga, one of the smaller racetracks in America, just from a size perspective around the oval. And so what happens here is that you've got a big run up into that first turn. that's actually a positive in my mind when you have a race like this, because it means everyone has a lot of time to be able to figure out their position. It minimizes the value of the post position draw and maximize the horse's talent, with the one caveat being speed does really well, Patrick. And so that's the one thing that I am a little concerned, is we are going to have a speed favoring track tomorrow.
The Graveyard of Champions, also known as Saratoga, Mike Somich, Ask American Pharoah back in the day, as you remember. We don't have a Triple Crown on the line this year, but again, as I've mentioned, this is about as exciting. There's so much juice coming into this Belmont Stakes, and we love Belmont, but it being at Saratoga does add just a little extra. Even with the cutback in distance, there's just something about that cathedral that is Saratoga. We're praying for the weather gods to keep the rain away, because we want an even match here. And that's something we're looking at. We should talk about this coming up. We could see Journalism, Sovereignty, Baeza moving forward and match races moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fun part about this, is we have these three horses that could easily bang heads again in the Haskell. I wouldn't be shocked if we see all three of them back for the Travers here at Saratoga, all leading up to the Breeders' Cup Classic in a wide open older division at Del Mar. And so this could be essentially the second time of five that we see these three horses go at each other, which is just great for horse racing. We need rivalries. We need these big races with horses with names that consistently run in the sport.
It is, of course, here on VSiN, VSiN at the Track, Road to the Belmont Stakes. When we return, a huge undercard, including the Jiper and the Woody Stevens Stakes, as we continue this VSiN Live.
You're tuned in to VSiN at the Track, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in here, VSiN at the Track. Make sure if you are playing tomorrow, head over to firstbet.com. You can head over to VSiN.com/Belmont. Get involved in the Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. Just pick the winner in the 10th through 13th race over at Belmont at Saratoga tomorrow. And win up to $500 voucher there over at FirstBet. The top 50 all payout, giving away $1,000. So make sure you head over to VSiN.com/Belmont to get in, Patrick.
VSiN at the Track, Road to the Belmont Stakes. We welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, sitting in for Aaron Halterman. Of course, Mike Somich, the man, is here. You know, I'm calling it the rematch plus one, and we're going to get to the Jiper and the Woody Stevens here in a second. I'm calling it the rematch plus one because if you go Journalism and Sovereignty, and then you add Baeza, that's the Derby top three. That's the first time since 2013 we've seen the Derby top three run it back in the Belmont, so that makes it exciting. And also, you add the cathedral element of Saratoga, the speed of Rodriguez and Baffert being in the mix, the weather potentially being a part of the equation. There's so much to look at, and as we take a look, we're going to talk about the Jiper Stakes, the sprint here. We should talk, when we talk Jiper, Mike Somich, we should say RIP to Christoph Clement. We talked about it yesterday in our pre-show meeting. Disco Partner, I don't know if he still holds the record in the Jiper, but I remember betting that beautiful gray that was trained by Christoph Clement, and this is an exciting sprint on the turf.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite races every year. You mentioned Disco Partner. I love Casa Creed, a horse that's won this race as well. Just one of those events where it kind of sets the measuring stick for the Breeders' Cup Classic and who's going to be the best turf sprinters here in America. And we've got a just loaded lineup again today. Think Big, the two horse, going to be your favorite here on the morning line. He has been awesome in his last two races. One of my favorite slash least favorite horses, the number nine, Silver Bullet. So it's listed as AG Bullet. AG, obviously, the symbol on the periodic table for silver. So the horse, just trying to confuse everybody, if we're being honest here. Silver Bullet, the nine, another horse that wants to be in the front. And with the way that speed has been doing, a horse that's definitely dangerous. Copel on the outside is a very fast horse that can win at any point. But I kind of like a price here, Patrick. I'm going to go to the number four, My Boy Prince, on top. You can get him at 10-1 right now. It's a horse that ran in the Canadian Triple Crown last year in the King's Plate, ended up running second in that race. Mark Cassie's decided he wants to kind of cut this horse back, try turf sprinting. And last time out, first time out as a four-year-old, was at Belmont at the Big A and won the Elusive Quality in a very, very impressive professional performance, was in the outside post. Very tough to win when you're in the 10-10 post at Belmont turf sprinting. Was able to run down the leaders that day at 7-1. And now we're coming back here, taking on the best turf sprinters in the world. But we're getting 10-1 again, Patrick. I like the price here, 10-1 on My Boy Prince, who's coming up second off the layoff.
Yeah, short price on Think Big. You mentioned 6-5 morning line, 7-2, 3.5-1, Silver Bullet with the periodic. But the 10-1 price on the Cassie horse, My Boy Prince. And we should further discuss potentially the weather impact on the turf. You mentioned, could we come off the turf? If we stay on the turf and we've got soggy grass, the impact.
Yeah, they're going to try and stay on the turf for these graded stakes. It's one of the reasons why we're talking about one of these turf races, because I would be surprised, even with rain, if they just don't run these races on yielding. One of the nice parts about this festival is that Saratoga proper doesn't start until mid-July. So you've got over a month to get this turf course ready for the Saratoga meet, which means you can let these horses cut it up a little bit more on this weekend with the Belmont Stakes Festival going on and not have to worry about what the condition of the turf will be the following weekend, something you very much have to concern yourself with when Saratoga proper is running and you've got major graded stakes races. Now, when the rain does come at Saratoga, all of a sudden closers do better on these turf sprints. You want to be a little bit off the pace because the ground gets very heavy, very tiring for the horses out front, and that allows horses to come from off the pace. My Boy Prince is one of those horses that can be close but also tries to come from a little bit off it. If it does rain, the number three, R-Shot, becomes a much bigger player here because R-Shot wants to come from off the pace, has run at Saratoga four times, has a win, 2 seconds, and a third. I would up his chances here if we do see some rain, if we do see a softer turf, because I do think R-Shot going to be able to take advantage of that. I would downgrade Silver Bullet, downgrade Coppola if you do see that rain, because it's going to be harder for them to go gate to wire, which is what they're going to want to do from those outside posts.
Okay, so Mike Somich, My Boy Prince, four-hole, Jiper, and the sprint on the turf, a 10-1 morning line. What price do you get coming out the gate?
I think you're going to get right around 10-1. One of the things about this race, and one of the reasons I'm excited to bet it, is because Think Big should be 6-5, should be your favorite. We saw in the grade two sprint at Churchill Downs on Kentucky Derby weekend, this horse went off as the favorite against some of the best sprinters in the world and won that race. The race before that won over a good Keeneland track in the Shakertown, another grade two. So you've got back-to-back races. And really, if you want to go, really the last five have been phenomenal. All five turf sprinting. It makes this horse just look really dangerous. And if that's the case, I do think the two Think Big takes money. I think the nine Silver Bullet takes money here. That allows you to get, I'm going to guess, somewhere in that 8-1 range on My Boy Prince. And if we're getting anywhere above 6-1, I think there's some value on My Boy Prince. So hopefully we can hold between 8 and 10-1, Patrick, and then get to the window with a nice winner.
It's over in a blink of an eye, the Jiper Stakes. It's a sprint on the turf. Love that race every year. We then move, that's the ninth at Saratoga. We then move to the 11th, the Woody Stevens. I'm looking at this field. There's some prices, Mike. So like we can find a price in the Woody Stevens, of course, 7 furlongs, 3-year-olds, but the shortest on the board, Chancer McPatrick at 4-1 coming out of the 10 hole. But you have a couple of 5-1s, 8-1s, up to that 10-1 range. What are we focusing on here in the Woody Stevens?
This is as competitive as a race as you're going to find. I mean, anytime you see the favorite sitting there at 4-1 and no one outside of the 6 T Craft at 30-1 shows you just how this is going to be one of those races where you're going to get a price that wins. Even if the favorite wins at, let's say, 7-2, you're going to still get some value back on it. The number 7 Colloquial is going to scratch out, so I want to make sure I mention that. And Colloquial would have been one of the horses that I liked in this spot. But I'm going to go to the number 4 horse here, Patrick. So back-to-back fours for me. The number 4, Patch Adams. This is a horse for Brad Cox. Luis Saez rides this one. And we often talk about Derby fever and how trainers and ownership groups really want to win a Kentucky Derby. And so they take these horses that are very good sprinting, very good at one turn, and they try and put them in Kentucky Derby preps. And if you go back and you look at what Patch Adams has done in his 5 races, he wins at 6 furlongs, wins at 7 furlongs, he tires at a mile and a quarter, 16th, tires at a mile and 16th, both of those in Kentucky Derby preps, cuts back to 6.5 furlongs. And guess what, Patrick? He wins. Every time this horse goes one turn, every time this horse is sprinting, you see very quality efforts from Patch Adams. And the last race specifically, Churchill Downs, I thought was just phenomenal over a sloppy track. I think Patch Adams absolutely ready to roll, but I would not ignore the horse that ran second in that race, Big Truzz on the inside, 10-1. He looked awesome heading into the stretch there in that allowance race at Churchill Downs, and just ran into Patch Adams, who was a better horse. Now, the difference with these two, Big Truzz has only run twice before. That was his second career start, his first time against winners. If one of these two horses takes a big step forward, it's Big Truzz that has that opportunity to do so, and you're getting that 10-1 price. So I like the 4 Patch Adams on top, but I'm going to be playing him with the 1 Big Truzz and some exactas, maybe try and sprinkle in some trifectas here with the 10 and possibly either the 8 or the 2. But to me, it's Patch Adams, the 4, and the number 1 Big Truzz that I like in the first and second spots.
And it's not just because he loved the movie. Patch Adams, 4 horse, 5-1. And the Woody Stevens. But also, if you just think about I'm looking at a Belmont Saturday, Belmont Stakes Day there at Saratoga. You just look at the trainers for the Woody Stevens, it's all of them. It's Pletcher, it's Cox, it's Mott, who we should talk about with his comments about Sovereignty dodging the Preakness. It's also Baffert and Lynch. I mean, these are the heavy hitters when it comes to horse racing in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those fun races. You've got the Pat Day Mile on the undercard on the Kentucky Derby, 3-year-olds going a mile, a lot of Derby horses. This is kind of that version in New York, right? This is a 7-furlong sprint. It's all the horses who tried to get into Kentucky Derby, but were just better sprinters because of that. You just see a murderer's row of Hall of Fame trainers, and that's what we are seeing in this spot. And you're seeing horses that have huge upsides. I mean, Gunmetal was supposed to be one of the better horses for Brad Cox throughout this process. Chancer McPatrick was supposed to be the Chad Brown horse that was going to take him to the Derby and take him on to this Belmont race, but he's just been better at one turn. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention Chancer McPatrick as well here. There's a lot of speed in this race, and Chancer McPatrick is perfect over this Saratoga track. Won the Hopeful at 2 years old at Saratoga. It's a grade one going 7 furlongs. Did it from off the pace. He's going to get a very similar trip here today where he's going to be rolling late. Make sure you keep an eye on that track. 7 furlongs in mud, usually you can close. So not a big issue here for Chancer McPatrick if it rains. But it is one of those situations where he's going to come from way out of it. The pace needs to materialize. But with horses like Macho Music, like Madicat Road, like Gunmetal, like Neo Equos, it should materialize for him.
You said mud. How dare you jinx a Belmont Saturday, a Belmont Stakes Saturday. We're not going to get rain, Sam Obam. We're not getting rain tomorrow at the Belmont Stakes. So that's the Woody Stevens. We're looking at the 4 Patch Adams. Of course, this is Beeson at the track. Road to the Belmont Stakes. We should talk about Mott's comments about Sovereignty coming up next as we preview and give our picks for the Belmont Stakes. Remember, they upped the purse up to $2 million. We're coming back here. Beeson at the track. Road to the Belmont Stakes.
You're tuned in to Beeson at the Track right here on Beeson, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in here, Veasan at the Track. We are rounding the far turn here into the third segment, and that means before we get joined by NBC's Matt Bernier, it's time to talk about our Belmont picks and who we like in the race here. Patrick, you've been talking about how this is loaded with storylines. Hill Road coming in from the Peter Pan. Rodriguez finally gets his opportunity to run in a Triple Crown race. Crudo, owned by Bobby Flay, a famous chef that has gotten into the horse racing world. And of course, Baeza, Journalism and Sovereignty, your big three from the Kentucky Derby. So when you were looking through this race, Patrick, and you were trying to decide where you were going to go, what were some of the factors that jumped out to you?
The factors for me, and immediately if you're looking to make some money, which you did in the Kentucky Derby, handed out the superfecta for over $1,600. So no pressure, Mike Somich, to do it again in the Belmont Stakes for our VSiN viewers. But for me, going back and watching the races, I thought Baeza ran his eyeballs out in the Kentucky Derby. I couldn't have had a worse, as far as just a trip, when you think about what Baeza had to deal with and still had plenty of juice down the stretch at Churchill Downs in a third place finish, trailing only Sovereignty and Journalism, obviously, despite the wide trip. I looked at him. I looked at the elite pedigree. Obviously, we talked about Dornock and Mage, who you bet and won on the Kentucky Derby. I want to beat Sovereignty. My issue is we could all look stupid once Journalism wins this race. But just a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we saw journalism had one of the toughest trips we've seen in horse racing. Not hit once, not walled out once, but twice down the stretch, picked up momentum and won the Preakness. I'm going to go Baeza on top, and we can talk about our exotics, but I'm going to go Baeza on top here.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the Preakness specifically with journalism. We do our top five horses when we've been doing it for about 3 months, both Aaron and I here, top five three-year-olds. And heading into the Derby, my top two was journalism one, it was Baeza two. We picked Baeza because of the setup, because of the price in the Kentucky Derby. I didn't change that coming out of the Derby. I still had journalism listed as number one, and he hasn't really done anything to fall off of being, in my mind, the best three-year-old in the country. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's the horse that you want to bet in a specific race, because it's all about pace setup. It's all about what trip these horses are going to get and what they've had to do in the previous weeks leading up to the race that may or may not produce their best effort. And when I look through this, every way I see it, I think this favors Baeza with how we're going to see this race run. We have Rodriguez and Crudo, who both want to go to the front. We've consistently seen Bob Baffert horses, when they do go to the front, they break forward and then they break out a little bit to push any other speed wide and essentially try and slow the pace down a little bit. That's really bad for the four uncaged. And when I look through the speed numbers, it's either uncaged or Baeza that ends up sitting the catbird seat right behind those two speed horses. If that is the case, I think Baeza ends up in third, tracking these top two leaders who are going to be pushing each other to make sure that there's at least an honest pace out front. He gets first run heading into the lane. I think that makes Baeza very, very difficult. And because of the way this track is playing, I don't think it's a great setup for Sovereignty either, who's going to have to try and come from off the pace without getting that hot pace that we consistently saw in the Kentucky Derby. And so to me, this is a two-horse race, Patrick. This is, I will say three, but there's two really I think you focus on here. And then the two are Baeza and Journalism. I think they're the best two horses in this race. I thought that Baeza's Kentucky Derby was possibly the best of the three, considering the trouble that he had and the clean trips that both Journalism and Sovereignty got. And I look at this and I just want to take the bigger price of the two, especially considering everything Journalism has had to go through to get up to this point. He chased an incredibly fast pace in the Derby and held on for a second. He then had to deal with all that adversity in the Preakness. And now you're rolling back in 3 weeks and three races in 5 weeks and having to try and do this again here in the Belmont against top tier company. I think it's almost too much to ask here for Journalism. So I'm going to take Baeza on top as well, Patrick.
Well, just to win the Preakness in the Belmont Stakes, I believe it was a Fleet Alex back in 05, the last to do it. Only five horses have done it, so Journalism would join exclusive company. You know, you and I are both going to single out Baeza because we have to take a shot. Now, the price might continue to dip, so we saw it come down a little bit, float down off the morning line. Let's talk about your super. We both built a super. You go $5, $20. I'm going $1, $30. We'll start with your superfecta here in the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, look, because of the way I see this race playing out, I don't have any monster prices. And if you're not going to play monster prices, you have to bet it very thin. You have to find ways to create value around your opinion. And I said it's a two-horse race, possibly a three-horse race. Look, there's a world where Rodriguez doesn't stop, where he is able to get the lead, right, and he doesn't get as much pressure from Crudo early, and he just gets brave up there, and no one is able to get by him. So I do think Rodriguez has at least a shot at winning this race, specifically because of the way the track's playing and because of the pace setup that he is getting. So I'm going to put Baeza on top in that first spot because he is the horse that I think is going to get the trip and is the most likely to win. I will put Rodriguez, who I think has a chance of holding on here, and Journalism in the second spot. And then the third and fourth spots, I'm going to add Sovereignty there because I do think he can close late. Hill Road would be the other horse I would consider. If you're trying to get a better price here, use the one instead of the two. It's going to pay a little bit more. But we're trying to find a way to balloon this up by playing it very, very short because this is the four horses who are going to be the favorites on race day. So give me the six Baeza on top, the three Rodriguez and the seven Journalism in second, and then the two horse Sovereignty, the three Rodriguez and the seven Journalism in third and fourth. This will cost you $20 for $5. So not a big cost from a ticket perspective. I think this pays, we'll say $600-$800, somewhere in that range if it's able to hit. So not as big of a hit as the Kentucky Derby, but we're trying to go low risk, higher reward here with a $5 superfecta, Patrick.
Yeah, $20 ticket. Mike, I wanted to ask you, because Sovereignty, if you believe the reports, has been very impressive in the morning workouts leading up to the Belmont. So as a handicapper, when the morning workouts, now it's so nebulous at times because certain trainers approach the workouts leading up to big races very differently, right? Baffert goes eyeballs out in the morning workouts. Somebody like Bill Mott might be a little bit more tentative and conservative. Sovereignty's been looking great leading in. What do you think about that?
He's looked awesome on the racetrack. And Bill Mott, like you said, not one that really has flashy workouts in the morning. So for a Bill Mott horse to be getting as much love on the backside as Sovereignty is, it tells you how well the horse is doing. To be fair, though, journalism's looked great. Baeza's looked awesome. Like, everyone seems to be in very good form here heading into this race. I don't take workouts with horses that have not started nearly as seriously. Like, if there's something bad, to me, that is a negative. But if they're running well, I that's not a big thing to me, just because we consistently see these horses at this level be able to run well during the process, especially in the morning, because these are just very, very good horses. They should impress you. And if they don't, I think that's when you more sound the alarm bells than if they are great in the morning, you upgrade them in a lot of cases. If you're betting on first-time starters, workout's very important. But when you're betting on these horses that are proven, not nearly as big of an issue for me, Patrick.
All right, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, Mike. First bet in VEASAN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You're going to receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VEASAN completes the trifecta with a free VEASAN Pro subscription through August 31st. That's a $200 value. That's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. Head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. We can throw up my super, and I'll have you analyze it. Baeza is going to be on top, as I mentioned. Mike, I'd be shocked if either journalism or Sovereignty don't end up finishing second. I did take a shot connections with Hill Road 3, along with journalism, Sovereignty, and Rodriguez. Rodriguez is such an X factor because I truly believe Rodriguez could get out, go, and never look back. So that, but again,
yeah, he's the one horse
from the Kentucky Derby. That is a question. And then I went all in the fourth, hoping to catch a price.
Yeah, look, I don't mind the all in the fourth spot because anything can happen in these races. You've got Crudo, who's 15-1. He could be interesting. I didn't hate Heart of Honor in the Preakness. He's probably going to run to finish in the top four, not necessarily try and win the race. That makes it a little interesting there for a price as well. I don't mind the ticket here, especially because you've got that one in third. So if you're able to get Hill Road, a horse we haven't talked a ton about, but won the Peter Pan, looked very good for Chad Brown. He wants to win the Belmont at Saratoga here. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see Hill Road run very well on Saturday. And he's another horse that's going to kind of sit in the middle of the pack. And there's not a lot of stalkers in this race. There's deep closers, there's speed, but that stalker position outside of really Baeza and the four uncaged is missing. And so maybe he's able to surprise and get your price in that third spot to be able to balloon this up. You're taking a little bit more of a deeper route on the bottom to see if you can price hunt. I'm trying to play a little shorter route with favorites. Both tickets not expensive, though. Yours just $30 there, mine $20.
There you have it. $30, a dollar superfecta, 6 over the 2-7, over the 1-2-3-7, and all in fourth for me. When we return, we're going to be joined by Matt Bernier, of course, NBC Sports. He's going to be boots on the ground there at the Belmont Stakes. This is VEASAN at the Track, the road to the Belmont Stakes.
You're tuned in to VEASAN at the Track, right here on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in here, VEASAN at the track, road to the Belmont Stakes.
I was trying to trick you. Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. I stopped anybody. I'm sorry. We're going to have Matt Bernier joining us in just a bit. Before we do, I wanted to ask you this. Regardless of price, and you're going Baeza on top to win the Belmont Stakes, if pricing wasn't included, would you be going journalism?
Yeah. If you said I had basically everyone's 2-1. who's the best horse, I'd probably be betting Journalism. But the delta in the price to me is going to be big enough where you're getting somewhere around 6-5, 7-5 on Journalism. You're getting double that price on Baeza at 3-1, 7-2, which is my guess about where he goes off at. I would much rather have Baeza. We talked about on this show, Patrick, last week, the fixed odds market on Baeza. It was as high as 7-1 a week and a day ago. Wow. Yes, last week at this time, you could get plus 450 in some places in Las Vegas. I think it was Caesars that still had it up as well. We were talking about betting Baeza in that fixed odds market because you kind of felt like he was going to be a horse that was not going to go off higher than that 4-1 morning line. And so hopefully some people went out there and took advantage of those fixed odds prices on Baeza. But yeah, if you ask me, just rank these horses for the rest of the year skill-wise, it's Journalism 1, it's Baeza 2, it's Sovereignty 3. I think that's the best three-year-olds if you play everything in a vacuum. And to me, this race is not in a vacuum because of everything Journalism's had to do over the last 5 weeks, and then obviously the price. And when you factor in how much Journalism has had to work, and then the fact that you're getting half the price on Journalism that you are Baeza, I'd rather take a shot with Journalism. I'd rather take a shot with someone like Rodriguez in this spot if you want to try and find a bigger price, who's sitting on the board at 6-1 right now, 7-1 on the current odds board. He's got a path if he goes gate to wire here.
Let's find out who our buddy NBC Sports, the Matt Bernier Show, is taking in the Belmont Stakes there at Saratoga as we say hi to Matt. Matt, welcome to the program.
What's happening, guys? Good to talk to you again.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Why don't you just frame the Belmont Stakes for us? Sovereignty, Journalism, Baeza. I know you're picking a different horse, but the race itself, frame it for us.
The cream has risen. You know, I think as far as the quality is concerned, it's hard to argue that this is probably the best Belmont top to bottom that we've seen in many, many years. It's not to say that it's necessarily the best betting, or it may not be the largest field, but I don't think you can really poke too many holes in the top three in the wagering. And then you can kind of squint a little bit for some of the interior types, the fourth and fifth choices in the race. But as far as just overall ability is concerned, I think this is probably one of the better Belmonts that we've seen in quite some time.
I think it's very well put, Matt. The storylines are phenomenal throughout this Belmont because you do have the top three from the Kentucky Derby back. You've got your Preakness winner. You've got your Derby winner. One thing our sport is missing is rivalries. This feels like we could start that rivalry between Baeza, between Journalism, between Sovereignty, if they all are able to run well on Saturday. Now, we're hearing the rain is starting to roll in there at Saratoga. How does that change your handicap if we are going to see rain or an off track tomorrow?
Not a great deal, Mike, just simply because, you know, you take a look at the main contenders in this race, the big three coming out of the Derby and then, you know, Journalism with the Preakness as well. They all ran on this 5 weeks ago. You know, if it ends up being a sloppy racetrack, I don't think there's any real concern for any of the top three in here. You know, then you start to look at kind of the fringe contenders and you wonder, you know, Rodriguez has never set foot on it before. How does that affect him? You know, a horse like Crudo's never run on it before. How does it affect him? But if you're focused on the big three in here, which I think everyone is, and rightfully so, the racetrack to me is kind of inconsequential. The bigger concern would be the way the track has played so far. You don't want to draw too many conclusions because we've only been racing a couple days at Saratoga, but it does seem like the main track has been a little bit kinder to speed than horses coming from out of it. You know, does that mean that's how it'll play out tomorrow? And if we end up with some crazy thunderstorm that rolls through, you know, your guess is as good as mine. The track management in NYRA is as good as any jurisdiction in the country, but it is something to keep in the back of your mind that speed's done pretty well the first 2 days.
Matt Bernier joining us, our buddy, of course, does a great job. NBC Sports, the Matt Bernier Show as well. You framed it for me perfectly years ago, talking about three-year-old horses, almost like seniors in high schools as far as athletes. A very young senior is going to be Baeza. I'll just tell you, Matt, Mike and I are both taking Baeza here. What do you think about the six horse?
I mean, so when you first look at the race, he becomes sort of the one that sticks out and seems like the most obvious alternative to the top two in Sovereignty and Journalism. There's not much separating him. You take a look at the run in the Santa Anita Derby. You could argue that Baeza actually ran a better race given the ground loss. Some would go the other way and say Journalism with maybe getting boxed in with the team tactics, had to overcome some things. It kind of split in hairs. I think they both ran incredible races. And then in the Kentucky Derby, I suppose you could argue he had a spot of bother at the top of the lane and he didn't have the cleanest run of it. I think he, all things considered, had a pretty good trip and he just barely got beat. He ran very well again there, only a neck behind Journalism. So if you're just looking at it saying, and this is the way I approached it, I have a hard time separating Sovereignty, Journalism, and Baeza. I think talent-wise, they are all very, very similar, very comparable. And maybe this is, you know, Captain Obvious in dumbing it down too much. But I would just suggest if you're down to those three, take the biggest price of the three. I don't know that things will stay this way. We've only got a little more than $500,000 in the pool. But I'm a bit surprised that Sovereignty currently is the largest of the three at 7-2. So, you know, do with that what you will. I think Baeza will be the third choice. But I have no issue with anybody that says it's his turn to get the job done.
Yeah, Sovereignty forgotten in the Derby betting pool. We saw him float up off the morning line odds. Feels like he is being forgotten here in the Belmont pool as well. His style may be a negative here, though. We only have two horses that want to go to the front in Rodriguez and Crudo, and Sovereignty needs that pace setup to be able to run him down. Saratoga also notorious for not being a great track to try and close on when you are going two turns, either a mile and eighth or a mile and a quarter. So maybe another reason we're seeing him float up in the betting market a little bit here, Matt. Now, when you look through the race, you mentioned the top three there with Sovereignty, with Baeza, with Journalism. We've got Hill Road, Rodriguez, those next two in line. What is your take? Who do you think actually comes out and wins this race? Who's getting your money?
I'm going to back Rodriguez in here for a few different reasons. A, and most importantly, I think the price given the likelihood of winning is going to be an overlay compared to the other three, the big three in here. Rodriguez is currently 6-1. That's right at the morning line that David Aragona pegged him at, and I don't see any reason why he won't be right around there come post time. And then also, guys, the tactics of this race, you know, many people have brought up that Crudo is a pace presence, and I don't disagree with that, but I think there is a little bit more maybe to the story than meets the eye here. Crudo, trained by Todd Pletcher, partially owned by Bobby Flay and Jimmy Ventura. And this is a horse that only ran 3 weeks ago, and Todd Pletcher is not a trainer that typically wheels his horses back this quickly. You can look at that as a vote of confidence, or in my case, I'm going to look at it and say this is atypical for Todd's plan, and this is a very lightly raced horse. I think the last thing they want to do is kind of have him go out there and get cracked by another speed. And Bob Baffert, if we know one thing about a Baffert horse, they're sharp out of the gate. They're going to show speed. I know he's been gone for a while with that quarter crack. I don't think that's really the end-all be-all at this point. Bob is a trainer that can train him up off of lengthy layoffs. I'm not worried about that. They've made no bones about it. They're going to the front. I have a sneaking suspicion that when they go into the first turn, Mike Smith and Rodriguez are a length clear, and it just boils down to how fast do they need to go down the backside and around the far turn to have that, let's call it two-length cushion by the time they hit the quarter pole, because if it's any less than that, I think he's in trouble. I don't think he's quite as talented as the likes of Journalism or Sovereignty or even Baeza, but if you tell me that he's too clear when they hit the top of the lane, we've seen Bob do it before in New York. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he just didn't stop.
Matt just got off TV and did a hit with us. Matt, you're the best. Matt Bernier, NBC Sports. Enjoy the race. Thank you so much.
Likewise, guys. Good luck.
All right. Mike Somich, remember, the final jewel of the Triple Crown is here, the Belmont Stakes, and there's no better time to bet the races than right now with First Bet. New users can get $200 sign-up bonus. Just use the promo code VEASAN200. Whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to the sport, First Bet has all the tools to elevate your game. Download the app or go to firstbet.com/VEASAN to sign up today. That's firstbet.com/VEASAN. Promo code VEASAN200 for your $200 bonus. We should say, before we say goodbye, a very special edition. Join us tomorrow. VEASAN at the Track, 6 to 8 East, covering the Belmont Stakes, plus sports betting action in the NBA, NHL playoffs, and more. Mike Somich.
Yeah, make sure you get into the Belmont Challenge as well. VEASAN.com/Belmont for the Belmont Stakes Challenge. $1,000 being given away by VEASAN and First Bet, so make sure you check that out. And make sure you join us tomorrow, Mad Dog Sports Radio, as well as SiriusXM Channel 158 from 3 p.m. Pacific to 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 8 Eastern on there, Patrick. We'll be talking everything Belmont, including what the weather looks like, how the track's playing. Get you a live report and an update there of what we're going to look at heading into the Belmont Stakes.
I can't freaking wait, Samo. I literally have not been this excited about a Belmont Stakes since Justify. I love Justify, the 13th Triple Crown winner. It's going to be awesome. If you're in the chat at VEASAN Live, remember, hit us up with a subscription. We're going to stick around for a few minutes after the program. But again, you can join us. VEASAN at the Track, the road to the Belmont Stakes tomorrow, 6 to 8 Eastern time, both on VEASAN proper and Mad Dog Sports Radio. Mike, looking forward to the broadcast tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait, man. It's a phenomenal day of racing. Make sure you're watching Saratoga. You mentioned the Cathedral of Horse Racing, my favorite place in the world. I wish I was up there this weekend. But, you know, broadcasting with you, close second, Patrick.
It's the Mecca. We'll see you tomorrow.